things each day. Bunch of birds, I don't know why you'd get a bunch of birds for Christmas, but somebody wanted to give a bunch of birds for Christmas. And if you add up all the gifts, it totals 364 gifts. So one for each day of the next year. Till next Christmas, I guess. I don't know. That's all I know about Christmas. All right, Proverbs chapter 22. I'm going to break down and I'm going to teach a cheesy message this morning. All right. Five gifts for Christmas. What could you give to God? Five gifts, the top five, I believe, from the Bible. Things that you could give to God. In doing so, as you sit around, in fact, the Bible also says this, that the children shouldn't, I never tell this to teenagers because I know they're going to take it the wrong way. It is in the Bible, all right? So I guess I should at some point teach it, all right? But the Bible says that children shouldn't save up for their parents, but parents should save up for their children, all right? And so the thing is that when a child gives something to their parent, it's very a special moment. That would focus in on that, okay, now the child is you know, realizing that they want to give something back for all the things that have been given to them. You know, by the time a child is old enough to realize anything, the mom carried the baby in the womb for how long, and they saved up and bought a crib, and they did all those types of things for the kid, okay? And then at some point, that kid gives a gift back. You know, that's a momentous occasion, I guess. For a parent, all right? If our dog ever gave something back to us, I would appreciate it, all right? Other than just barking and everything else. But if you could imagine, God is our Father, correct? We know that when we're born into this world, we're not born into the family of God, like Santa Claus said this morning on Fox News, all right? Or we're not all God's children, you know? But I mean, when you get saved, you're adopted out of the family of the devil. And you're born into the family of God, a spiritual birth, and you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and now you're a Christian. The blood that is in heaven on the mercy seat has been applied to your account. Your sins, past, present, and future, have been wiped off of your account. You are now standing before God justified, just before a holy judge. You're now in the family of God. All those things I didn't do. All those things I didn't save up for or try to get done or anything. I didn't do any of those things. All right? In fact, probably at some point in the womb I kicked. Okay? In fact, probably at some point I cried or screamed or threw up or somebody had to clean up after me or something like that. Right? But at some point as a Christian and as a child of God, at some point I get to a place where I'm like, I want to give back. I want to give a gift to my Father. I want to give a gift to God. So what does the Bible say about what kind of gifts I can give back to Him? Now, I see some nervous faces. I am not at any time going to talk about tithing. I'm not at any time going to talk about offerings, all right? So relax. It's Christmas morning, all right? I'm not going to go to your wallet, all right? This morning, Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 15. Remembering that we are, if you're saved in here this morning, you are a child of God. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15 says this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now that's one verse, but if you've been around the Bible, around the preaching and teaching that happens in this building, if you've been in your Bible for any amount of time, you know that that verse is throughout the Bible. That verse is in many other places. We're not going to go to all those other verses and all the other places that that verse is. But that verse kind of sums it up. That as God is our Father, He wrote this book, and I'm His child, and He says this, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from. You know what is a gift that I could give God this Christmas? To be wise. Not to be that foolishness that's bound in my heart, but to be wise. Have you ever seen the inside of a baseball? Anybody ever seen? Can you tell me what the inside of a baseball looks like? What makes it so hard? Twine, you could just loosen it up and throw it all over the place. What makes it? It's bound. It's bound together. Just like if you tie a knot, then you tie another one, then you tie another one, then you tie another. That's what the inside of a baseball looks like. That string, they probably put glue or something in there too. I mean, something to keep it all together like that. But if you take the covering off of a baseball, it's just this twine that's in there, all tangled together and mingled together, and it's bound in there, and that's a knot. Have you ever been hit with a baseball, right? A baseball is a hard thing. And the Bible says that foolishness is bound in my heart. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Just like that baseball is just intertwined. I mean, how do you get out of that? Well, the Bible says, rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's a line drive, all right? That's hitting that thing, all right? That's loosening it up a little bit. What could I give to God this Christmas? Not to have to use the rod of correction on me. You say, well, how important is that to God? His relationship with me? I mean, sin is what separates me from God. Sin is what gets in between me and God. What could I give between me and a better relationship? How do I do that? Not be that fool that I know is in me. Be wise that I know is not in me. All right, no amens from back there. All right, that foolishness that's bound in my heart. I know, just like Paul, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that when I do things in my flesh and in myself, I cannot please God. In fact, I despise myself. I despise that part of me that keeps taking me away from God. I'm offended by the stench of my flesh in God's presence. God, I am sorry for me. I'm sorry for my flesh. Where my flesh offends you, where my heart is wrong. God, give me a heart like the heart David had that you said was like unto yours. God, give me a heart like Mary had that you decided to use her because she was pure and because she was able and that you were able to use her. God, I know that it's your will to perform your will in me and that your Holy Spirit dwells in me like, as I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. And my flesh just is ruining it all. What could I give to God? God, I know that in my heart is bound, just like that baseball, is bound like a knot. Foolishness is in my heart. God, this Christmas, you can put the rod away. This Christmas, you can put the rod away. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be close to you. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be wise. You've heard teaching, preaching again. You've gone through this book. You know what that is. You know what wisdom is. You know how important the book of Proverbs, you read the book of Proverbs, you know how important wisdom is to make wise choices. You know how much God was pleased with Solomon when he was able to ask for anything he wanted, and he asked for what? Wisdom. And God commended him for that. You ask for wisdom? I mean, are you asking for wisdom from God? Why? Because I'm a fool. I mean, in myself, I'm a fool. You know, the Bible tells us not to call our brothers and sisters in Christ fools. In fact, it gives us a big warning not to call each other, not to call each other fools. I catch myself all the time. That guy's a, I can't say that. I can't call that guy a fool. He's a dope or something. All right, you're not supposed to call each other fools. We know that in myself, my heart is foolish. What can I give to God this Christmas? Put the rod away. Put the rod away. I'll be wise. I'll be wise. I'll walk in that light of your word. Turn back, if you're there, in Proverbs chapter 22 to Proverbs chapter 20. Did you know that in the majority of European countries, they don't just have one Santa Claus, they have two? One is male and one is female? I remember that from somewhere. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child, the Bible says, is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Verse 12, the hearing ear, there's one. The seeing eye, there's two. The Lord hath made even both of them. Even a child is known by his doing, whether his work be pure, whether it be right. Hearing ear, seeing eye. The Lord hath made both of them. You are what you do, I think is what that verse is saying. Words are one thing, actions are another, I think is what that verse is saying. God wants you to back up your words with your actions, I think is what that verse is saying. I think it's saying that God gave me the eyes, the hands, the ears, the feet, the mind, the ability to do everything that I can do. And he says, what type of a child you are is based on what you do with those hands, those ears, those eyes, those feet, that mind, what you do with it. I had a lot of good friends in high school that were really smart. One kid in particular I remember was really smart. He would sleep through the whole class, and the teacher would call on him and just point to the board to the problem that none of us could figure out. He would look up, he'd look at it, and he'd solve it. He was extremely, extremely bright. No offense, I don't know where you work or anything like that, but he's been working at KFC since he was 15, 16 years old. And he cannot get another job. He cannot get another job because of the drugs he keeps doing. Because there, you can do it, all right? I don't mean to bash KFC today or anything like that, but that's what he does. And by the time he graduated from high school, he had a couple kids, all right? Out of wedlock and things like that. All I'm saying is that guy was just, I mean, he was 10 times smarter than I was. He had so much ability. We used to tell him, dude, you should be working for NASA or something like that. What are you doing, you know, just messing up around in your life and stuff like that? What are you doing hanging out in these groups and that crowd and stuff like that? What are you doing? You are so smart, you know. And he just didn't care. That mind that he was given, I mean, that gift that he was given, that talent that he was given, he's always a reminder to me that you can have something great and it not build up to anything. It not be given to anything. Some of you have an ability just to comfort somebody, to encourage somebody, to be there for somebody, to help somebody, to pray for somebody. Some of you have that ability to, when you talk to people, they just trust you. They listen to you. They'll rely on you. All right. Some of you are encouragers. All right, whatever that gift might be, you know just as well as I do. It's how you use it. It's not just having the gift. It's how you use it. He says, God says, even a child is known by his doings. You know what that means? There's a couple kids. Our church is kind of almost the opposite of this. So if you're to take the downstairs and put it upstairs, that's how our church is. We do have a basement, but it's small and to the corner. And then we have a big open upstairs, and that's where we do our junior church and stuff like that. We call it Super Church. Well, there's kids up there that people just, when I say their name, they just cringe. All right? I say their first name, and they just cringe. I just want to punch that kid. Because these kids are just wild. I mean, these kids are crazy. And I was talking to my sister and my wife the other day, because they were talking about this one kid. I said, that kid reminds me of me so much. That he reminds me of me so much when I was that age. I said, you know, the way he's acting, I remind him, he's just like I was. Even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his doings. You look at that kid and you see the way he's acting, you go, there's something wrong with that kid. Something needs to be changed in that kid. Something needs to be driven out of that kid. Something needs to be adjusted in that kid. And then you look over at another one, and you go, that kid's got a lot of potential. Why? He's just submissive. He's going to do what's right, all those types of things. You look at that child, by what? By his doings. God looks down at us, and he sees that rebellion. He sees that submission. He sees that fighting, just a bitterness. He sees that willingness and openness. He sees that, and he knows you by your doings. Now, I'm not trying to compare this room to God's nursery or something like that, all right? But he's looking down here and he's seeing that one chew on the carpet, and he's seeing that one throw something at the teacher, and he's seeing that one, you know, listening and being obedient, and that one helping clean up, and he's seeing those types of things. And he's knowing his children by what they're doing. He's watching their actions. What could you do for God this Christmas? Acts of love. Acts of love for God. Why? So that you can tell him, God, this is who I am. This is who I am. Acts of love for God. I almost don't want to give any examples just because I hope God's given you one. Maybe it's something that he's been working on you about over the past year, over the past couple of years. Maybe it's just something that's come to your mind right now, like I could do this for this person, or I should be doing more of this, or whatever the case might be. I don't even want to speculate. I don't even want to throw an example out there. You hear them enough. Acts of love from you to show God who you are. Why? Because even a child is known by his doings. Whether they be pure, whether they be right, the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. The Lord hath made both of them. Help God out this Christmas. He has a will, he has a purpose. There are things he's trying to get done. Help him out this Christmas. Acts of love. Turn to Isaiah chapter 63. And as I said, I've got five of these. And I'll be very quick on the next two. Three. Isaiah 63 in context is God talking about his people. God talking about the taking Israel from how they're on the shelf right now. How he's got them on the sideline because of what they did to his son, because of what they how they rejected him, how they did not want him to be their king. All those types of things throughout the years that God was working with the nation of Israel, they're on the shelf, and he's talking about how he's going to put them back. And he mentions something in one of these verses about why he would trust his people, why he would put his hand back on his people and continue to use his people. And he says in verse 8, "For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie." So he was their Savior. "Surely they are my people, children that will not lie." So he was their Savior. The condition in there is really honesty. Honesty. You know, in the book of Revelations, God is mentioning the people that will be in hell, and he says liars. He says, all liars. I mean, he throws them in there with murderers and whoremongers and adulterers and sorcerers and all these terrible things. And he throws in there people that are dishonest, people that just won't tell the truth, people that lie, people that fib, people that, you know, kind of blur the truth, whatever the case might be, dishonesty. Dishonesty. You know, if you've been around for any amount of time, that your relationship with another person is largely based on clarity and honesty. And if you lie one time, it takes about 100 not lyings anymore to build back that trust. I always use the illustration of if, you know, you were a accountant and you were running my business's funds. I don't have a business. Maybe I will someday. A bagel shop. You're running my funds, or I don't know why. You're running my funds, and you steal, you know, $2.2 million. My bagel shop's doing real well. All right, you steal $2.2 million. You go to prison for 20 years. Well, yeah, you probably go longer to prison than for that than murder or anything else. All right, you go to prison for 20 years. When you get out and you come back to me and say, I'd like to come back to work for you again, I'd like to be in charge of your finances. What are the odds I do that, okay? When somebody breaks trust, they don't deserve your trust right back. Or you don't deserve, well, I'm sorry, I said I was sorry. No, you've got to build back trust. When you break somebody's trust, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you do something behind their back, you do something dishonest. It takes years to build back trust. It takes a lot of time. And you've got to work hard at it to build trust in the person next to you and the person around you to restore that relationship. How many times have you broken God's trust in you as your father turned your back on him, gone away from him? God refers to it a lot as adultery. In fact, he wrote a bill of divorcement to them. All right, when he's talking about how they, the nation of Israel, the top ten, went against God, and he was so shocked that after he was working so much on the bottom two, Judah and the Levites, that when they went again, he calls it a whoring after other idols and other gods. He says, how could you do that? You saw what I did with the top ten with Israel. How could you do that too? Go off to other gods and commit adultery on your gods. Spiritual, religious adultery. What would it take for them to build back that trust? Honesty. Children that will not tell a lie. Honesty. You know God knows everything. God knows everything. But are you still trying to hold something back like he doesn't know? Or twist the facts so he's not going to see through it? Or understand what exactly is going on? You know what would help you and me out a lot? Just being clear and honest. God, here's where I'm at. I'm mad at you for this. I'm bitter at you for that. Why did you do this to me? This bothers me. I don't want to do that for you. Honesty. Honesty. Open up and be honest with God. He'll be your Savior. Why? If you won't tell a lie. You know what it took? You know what it took for you to be saved? If you're in here this morning and you got saved, you know what it took? God, I'm pretty bad, but I think I could get to heaven on myself, but I accept your Son as my Savior. No. You had to understand 100%. I am a sinner separated completely from God. It is not His fault at all. I am 100% in the wrong. He's 100% right. What is that honesty? That is honesty. You know why a lot of people will refuse to get saved or don't want to get saved? Honestly, they'll have to admit that they're wrong and things like that, and that bothers them. And you've got to be wise as serpents and find a way to get through that. All right, but they just don't want to be that honest. As Christians, what will God do? He says, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. And I'll be quick. Turn to Psalms chapter 86. Psalms chapter 86 to your left. Good gifts, be wise. Foolishness abound in the heart of a child. Show them acts of love. God's made the ears, the hands, the feet, the mind. He's made all these things, and a child is known by his doings. Honesty. Honesty, that my children will not tell a lie. They'll be my people, and I will be their Savior. Psalm chapter 86, a couple verses here. I'm not going to read through it all, so I will bounce through a couple verses, but look at verse 5. Psalms chapter 86, David speaking, and in need of forgiveness, and he speaks out to God. In verse 5, he says this, for thou, Lord, why did he go to God? For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon them. Look at verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. What we have here is a set of I'm sorry's and a set of I forgive you's. We have a set of I'm sorry's and we have a set of I forgive you. Do you remember when David numbered the people and he wasn't supposed to? And God came to him with three options. He sent the prophet to him with three options. You can pick this one, or this one. And he said, man, I don't want to go with the drought. Was one of them the drought? The other one was the enemy. 3 years of losing to the enemy. And then the third one was at God's hand. And he said, I don't trust those people to ever have mercy. I know them. I've lived with them. I've been around them, all right? I don't trust them. They're not going to have mercy. They hate me already. I'm not going to trust this world and this earth. It's not going to have any mercy on me. He chooses to have God bring his hand and start. I mean, who's more powerful than God? God could kill more people like that than anything else could, than the enemies or anything else. But he chooses to have God start destroying the people. And he said that the reason was because he knows the mercy of God. He knows that he is full of mercy. And eventually God will stop because he's forgiving and full of compassion. He chose to put himself into God's hand. Even when he knew God was angry and there was going to be a price to pay, he said, I'd rather put it in God's hand and let God deal with it because he's full of mercy. You know what would be a good thing for this Christmas? I'm sorry's and I forgive you's. The I forgive you's are there. The I forgive you's are waiting. The I forgive you's are given on the cross. That's past tense, working present. The I'm sorry's are conditional. That's up to you and I. That's up to me and you. And I already talked in honesty. I don't deserve a forgive you. If I did somebody wrong, all right, I got to build that back. Got to build that trust back. Got to do something. All right, but that approach of I'm sorry, I forgive you. God is full of compassion. You say, I'm saved. I don't need to ask for forgiveness for anything. Okay. All right. David came to God and he said, thou art full of compassion. He started that verse by saying, or that chapter by saying, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy, preserve my soul. Left to myself, I do nothing but walk against you. Left to myself, I destroy my life. Left to myself, I hurt those around me. Left to myself, I make poor decisions. Left to myself, I hurt you and everybody else. My heart, foolishness is bound in my heart. I know who I am left to myself, God. Do not leave me alone. I am poor and needy, but you are merciful and full of compassion. You say, God would never forgive me for things that I've done. He is full of compassion. Just like he is anger, he is love. Just like he is just, he is forgiving. Full of mercy, full of compassion. Turn in the New Testament. I'll give you gift number one. Gift number one. 3 John. Yeah, New Testament. Find it. 3 John and verse 4. If you are a parent, I'm sure you know this verse. If you are a grandparent, you really know this verse. Because you like kids better when they're your grandparents, when they're your grandkids than when you're your kids, right? 3 John, be wise. That's a good gift to give to God. God, put that rod away. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to be that child. I'm not going to be that one that just foolish and fighting against you. Show them acts of love. Show them acts of love. You're known by your doings. Honesty. God is full of compassion and you are needy. I'm sorry and I forgive you. You know all those psalms that we read about, Psalm 51 is a really good one. Where David's just coming to God asking for forgiveness and realizing his place, where he's at in his sin and where God could put him. Psalms 40, verse 1 through 4. All the places he is in himself and where God could take him and put him. How many psalms in your life are, just legit, honestly, God, here is who I am in myself, where I am. Here's where you could take me. I'm sorry, I forgive you. So that's a good gift. And number 5 or number 1, I don't know how you want to go, 3 John in verse 4. And it says this, I have no greater joy, sounds like a good gift, than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. An act, a step is an act. If I'm standing. If I take a step, one step forward, I'm taking a step. That is an action. And there are a lot of steps that God asks us to take. Walking is what? It is a combination of steps. You remember, is it geometry? You have a dot, and then a line is all those connection of dots through across a plane, Okay, I'm going way back. All right, that's a bunch of dots connected across a plane. Walking is not a step. Okay, walking is not a step. Walking can start today. Today's Christmas. Walking can start today. That could be a gift that you give to God to start walking. But you know what He has greater joy in? The ones that have been walking since last Christmas. The ones that have been walking since last Christmas. Next Christmas, after you've gotten all those birds every day of the year for 364 days or whatever those gifts are, all right? Next Christmas, you know what is going to be the greatest joy? Not you taking a step next Christmas, but you walking from this Christmas to next Christmas. He has no greater joy than a child that is walking, walking, walking for Him. Walking in the light of His Word. Walking for Him. I mean, you could do these things. Commit yourself to honesty. Commit yourself to do what's right. Commit yourself to these things. But you know what would be a greater thing than all those? All at the same time. Multiple steps put together creates walking. Walking. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what God's going to do with this church right here? He's pleased with this church. He appreciates this church. Not because people are taking steps, but because individual people are walking. Not because somebody, I'm going to take a step, I'm going to take a step, I'm going to take a step. But because people are walking. Because people are walking. The strength and foundation of things being done from day to day. If people are walking. If people are walking. And you know, just like I said, walking is not just one step. It's a combination of steps put together. It'll take you from one place to another. Are you in a better place this Christmas than you were last Christmas? Which direction were you walking in? All right, which direction were you walking in? Good gifts that you could give to God. How much has He given us? How much has He given us? You know that when you were a child and you were, by the time you came around to realize what was going on, your parents had done a lot for you. Your parents had done a lot for you. Well, now as a Christian, you've matured, you've grown up, I'm sure, in this church. You've grown up and matured in your Bible, and spiritually you've grown up, and you've come to a place to realize what great things He has done for us. It's time, just like when that child gives something back. All right, just like Aaron giving us all silly string yesterday is a great gift. That was a great gift. All right, giving something back. The child gives something back. That's a great, momentous occasion. How much greater when God looks down on Christmas morning in Bible Baptist Church and He sees His children giving back. Five great gifts. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this morning. God, we thank You for Your Word, the opportunity we have to look in it. God, we thank You for Christmas Day. We know that You were born that day. Lord, You became a child, and later on You told us that when we approach You, we need to become just like that child, just like children, God, vulnerable, holding nothing back, giving our all for You and willing to do everything for You. And God, we thank You for Christmas. Thank You for the families, God. Everyone in here seems to have a good spirit. God, there were no incidents of driving, or it doesn't seem like anything's too wrong. I ask You to be with Sonia. Is she sick this morning? But Lord, we thank You for everything that was done so far today, for those maybe still traveling and for the other classes going on. God, we ask that You'd be with us next time, this next period to come with the preaching that's about to happen. May everything that's said and done honor and glorify You. In Jesus Christ's precious and loving name I pray. Amen.